So I was preparing for this morning, and I'm taking a long time to try to figure out what story should I talk about this morning. I'm thinking, should we talk about Samson, maybe, or David and Bathsheba? But came to a familiar story that I think all of you probably know that I'm going to speak on this morning. Actually, I didn't take too long to think about it, because it's Christmas morning, and there's a story to be told on Christmas morning. And I think it's not a surprise to us, but what I love is that there's a richness and a depth, not in telling new stories, but I think in the retelling of old stories. And there's a newness in that that we resonate with, that something out of that may just help us come alive a little bit more or refresh ourselves with what God has done. So I'm going to get to the story, but before I do, we're a bit of a smaller crowd. Well, it's a good-sized crowd here this morning, but there's probably some of you who don't know each other. So what I want you to do, just to get you talking on Christmas morning together, is just turn to somebody, introduce yourself, and I want you just to talk a little bit about what this morning before church has looked like for you, okay? Maybe you've already opened 180 presents. Maybe you have kids, and it's the first time they've got married. It's the first time you're empty nesters. Whatever you want to talk about, but just introduce yourself, and for like 1 or 2 minutes, just talk about this morning's routine so far, all right? Go ahead. Morning, Anna.
I know, right? And I'm like, yeah, they're homemade. Yeah. That's what we had for breakfast, too.
All right. Sounds like we're an excitable crowd this morning. How many of you received one gift so far this morning? At least one. Anybody receive a gift? How many of you loved it? You can probably keep your hand up if someone gave it to you, is beside you. Keep it up. Yeah, it'd be awkward if you didn't, but awesome. That's good. I love it. And I think building up to today, there's probably different questions that we ask depending on our place in life. So as adults, I think we ask this question a lot, or we ask it of other people leading up to today. It's this big question: are we ready for Christmas? Are we ready for Christmas? In other words, what we're asking and we're going through maybe for someone else or in our own minds and our own checklist is this: are the presents bought? Is the turkey thawing in time? And is the pumpkin pie made? Yes, we all eat pumpkin pie on Christmas Day, don't we? It's not just a Thanksgiving thing. In fact, who doesn't love pumpkin pie anytime? I think it's a very good summer treat as well. It's any time of year. It's good. But other questions: is the house clean and ready for the barrage to come? Are the Christmas letters and photos and cards sent out? Is my cold getting any better? And maybe will I get enough sleep? But I can guarantee you this: there's probably not one child on earth who's asking those questions. For our kids in our house, they were not asking those questions. They were asking the same question, which felt like forever leading up to this morning: is it here yet? The anticipation has been growing in my house as my kids, especially over the last week, have added not just Merry Christmas, and you know, there's kind of a Merry Christmas Eve last night that we say to each other. Well, the last week my kids have said Merry Christmas Eve, 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 all the way up to 7 or 10 times. And every day they've taken off one Eve until we get to today. So today, like I said, at officially 7 a.m., a little bit earlier, I'll get them for that. It's here. Here's my point. Today has come. Today has come. Listen to Luke chapter 2 with these amazing words. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And here's that word again. Listen to this. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Today. Now, we've seen this played out a bunch of different times in different ways, this scene, but it feels almost like a bit of a movie when we think about it, because we're not visited by angels like this. We're not terrified. We don't have angels talking to us, but we could go to Colossus and see this. But it's played out time and time again. But this word comes up in verse 11, today. Today means that the waiting is over. Today means the past paves the way to the present. Today means that hope has come. Now, last month, Michelle and I had the privilege of taking our family down to Disneyland in sunny California. Darren and Chelsea were down there the day we left, and I know they had a great time. And guys, it was hot. It was stinking hot. It was when it was freezing cold here, we loved it. It was awesome. We felt bad, really bad for everyone back home. But you see, part of what we do at the Renault household is we didn't want to just kind of casually tell them. So it wasn't like, finish supper and do the dishes. Oh, and by the way, in a little while, we're going to Disneyland as a family. We tried to do it up a little bit for them and make it to tell them. And so we had a fun way to tell them that we were going. And so we thought after the first day of school was over, we would take them to Starbucks for a drink. And when we went there, we each had a hot chocolate, and we had prearranged with the barista there to put the letters M-I-C-K-E-Y, not M-O-U-S-E, but just M-I-C-K-E-Y, on the cups, and then they'd give it to us in random order. There's six letters in Mickey, and there's six of us in our family, so we thought this would be perfect. And so we got to the table and started talking until our son noticed that there was an M on his cup instead of a C for Carter. And so we drew their attention to all of their cups, and they noticed that they all had letters on them. And pretty soon they realized there's some sort of mystery here that they need to decode. And with a little bit of help from us, mom and dad, they in fact got M-I-C-K-E-Y, put it in the right order. And when they did, they looked up at us. And as soon as Michelle and I were smiling, they knew. Here's a picture of their reaction. It's not fake. It was awesome. We just snapped it at just the right time. And yeah, they're an excitable bunch, I tell you. They you should have seen this. If you think that's exciting, you should have seen this morning. You can get a picture of what it looked like in our house. But here's the thing. At that moment when they decoded it and looked at us smiling, they knew we're going to Disneyland. But here's the thing. We weren't ready to go to the airport. Nothing was packed. Our plane tickets were booked for later on, not until November 1st. And we told them then on September 6th. So what that did was immediately in their minds, put on a timer, a countdown for them of what was told to them and what would be. They circled the date on the calendar. They began to pack a month before we left. I'm not joking, they did. They researched the best rides on YouTube and watched and watched and watched more. They told their friends, they saved their change, they checked the weather there. And in all of this, they waited and waited and waited. You can imagine how agonizing it was to wait, because we know what it's like to wait. Waiting is without a doubt one of the things that is the toughest for us as humans to do, isn't it? We're told something is coming, but when it's not at that moment, the only choice we have is to wait. Well, maybe it's waiting for a trip to Disneyland, or maybe it's waiting for Christmas Day. Maybe it's waiting for the package to arrive in time. Parents, any stress out there this season? Maybe it's waiting for summer vacation to begin. Maybe it's waiting for the release of Star Wars Episode 8 that's coming a year from now, as opposed to May when they first promised us. But maybe it's waiting for a new job. Maybe it's waiting for this long-awaited surgery date, or a day that our loved one comes home from travel, or a wedding day that has just seemed like forever away. Maybe it's waiting for this desert season you're in to finally end. But for God's people, it was waiting for oppression to end, for a promised Savior to come to bring light to darkness and start a new chapter in our world's story as it was being written. Waiting is never easy, ever. But we go back to Luke chapter 2. But the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Today. Former priest Henri Nouwen once said this about waiting, and how waiting is actually a spiritual exercise, whether you are spiritual or not. But he says this, he says, "To wait open-endedly is an enormously radical attitude toward life. It is trusting that something will happen to us that is far beyond our own imaginings. The spiritual life is a life in which we wait. We actively present to the moment, expecting that new things will happen to us, new things that are far beyond our own imagination or prediction. That indeed is a very radical stance toward life in a world preoccupied with control." You see, these words that this angel uttered out to these shepherds, "Today the Savior has come," was actually a fulfillment of words long ago given to the history or to the people of Israel. There was a time in history when God's people lived in darkness. They lived in slavery. They were oppressed, defeated, marginalized, and worst of all, they probably felt that there was no hope. And this lasted for generations. To be honest, I've read this enough times, it's hard enough for me to picture this, what it looked like, and especially living in the Western part of the world here, to picture what it must have been for them living in those conditions would have been like, is extremely hard. We get images today of around the world of different parts of slavery and oppression and war-torn places, but it's hard for us to understand how it hits home. But understand, this was hard for God's people to be living this way for so long. But in this hopeless situation, this prophet by the name of Isaiah comes along and speaks words on behalf of God to the people. And he says this basically, "You will not live this way forever. Because God has told me to tell you this." In Isaiah chapter 9, here's what the prophet Isaiah was going to tell the people. He said, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." Listen here. "But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Remember, this is a future picture that is taking place. "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." These words are loaded with excitement and anticipation. Listen to some of these words that probably just popped out to them as Isaiah was saying these words to them. "Filled with glory. A light will shine. People will rejoice. Break the yoke of slavery. Lift the heavy burden." These would have been so foreign to their living conditions at that time that I'm sure their hearts started to beat faster, their eyes got a bit bigger, and were trying to think in their mind, could this actually be? Will things actually change? Will we not live this way forever? Because Isaiah, you're giving us words that give us incredible hope. And so to people who lived this way for so long and experienced so much hurt, these words must have been like water in the middle of a desert. For the first time, words of hope were spoken to them, and they undoubtedly perked up and listened. But how would this take place? How would you give us hope, and how will this darkness end? Isaiah goes on to say in the very next verse, how will this take place? This way. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. To go from despair, oppression, slavery, to peace, fairness, and justice, someone will actually come to bring all of this. But it wouldn't be today. They would be given the news, but it wouldn't take place immediately. The people would have to wait. And the people were not good at waiting, I'm sure. Why? Because we are not good at waiting either. And everyone knows this, including companies nowadays as well. You see, in February 2005, Amazon introduced something called Amazon Prime. And among other benefits, they began to guarantee two-day shipping on most of their items. That revolutionized the shipping world. That was 11 years ago. And the day of waiting 4 to 6 business days was a thing of the past with Amazon. It brought in a new business and made one new customer declare, "I am now in a monogamous relationship with Amazon." Amazon has now taken speedy delivery on a whole new level. Guys, if we think 2 days is fast, listen to this. We've been hearing about drones and the possibility of drone delivery and all this kind of stuff. Well, on December 7th, 2016, just a couple weeks ago, Amazon revealed that it had completed its first Prime Air delivery in Cambridge in the United Kingdom. The package, which contained a bag of popcorn and an Amazon Fire TV, who wouldn't order that, were loaded onto an unmanned vehicle from a local fulfillment center and delivered to his two-story farmhouse several miles away, all within 13 minutes after pressing send. 13 minutes. I want to move to Cambridge. That sounds awesome. I'm like, click. I don't even have time to like get up and do a few things before. It's at my door. 13 minutes. You see, God's people would have to wait and wait longer than 13 minutes. Much longer. And they waited not because God wanted to punish them or make life hard for them, but had to wait for the perfect time in the story of our world to come. And in fact, these people would have to wait 7 more centuries, 700 years, 25 generations. And if we think waiting 13 minutes is long, try waiting. This is 250,000 days. That's a long time for them to wait. Talk about a date being circled on a calendar and then counting down the days. But, the hope-filled words given by Isaiah were not empty words. After so much waiting, on a quiet night with no fanfare and so little going on, an angel appeared to lower-class men just doing their job and taking care of their animals. And they were obviously a little bit freaked out. Wouldn't you be? But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Today, the Savior has come. Today, after 700 years. Today, after so much waiting, with so much brokenness around them, with so little to be hopeful for, with Isaiah's words so long ago uttered, they were forgotten by many of God's people. But today, yes, today. Today is the day. For Israel, today is the future longing that has become the present reality. Today is the day that will usher in hope never felt before. Today is the day God's people will know that God is a God who keeps his word. Today is the day the angel appeared to the shepherds and pointed them not to himself, but to the true shepherd of his people. Today is the day the waiting is over. And because we remember the today that the angel spoke of, the kingdom of God coming into our world, we have new hope as well. We have something to live for far beyond ourselves. We know that God brings life even though we may feel so lifeless. We can lift our heads knowing that God brings hope even in the most hopeless situations. We have assurance that it is God who brings security to our lives and not our home equity stocks. our home equity stocks in Apple or RSPs. We rejoice as we realize that we never have to walk this world alone. And we have more than just religious knowledge, but we have a relationship with a person. And we see the Father's heart for us in Jesus being the ultimate expression of God's love. Today has come, and the wait is over. And by the way, November 1st did come, and our kids waiting, and all the packing and preparing and all the waiting was totally worth it. Here we are on the way to the airport. I think I'm the most excited of the bunch. You can tell I'm like, I'm going to Disneyland. This is awesome. And then we finally are waiting, just ready to get on the airplane. From that first moment when our kids realized it spells Mickey, and they looked at us and realized we're going to Disneyland, and all that waiting was worth it to them because we had an amazing time together. Today for us, the waiting is over. Emmanuel, God is with his people. Jesus has come, and our story is forever changed. Let the wonder and the celebration begin. Today has come.